Looks like they're going to throw it. He's surprised.
Yeah. And they are looking for it. Now, Roethlisberger in trouble. Throws it. And a catch to clinch it. In all likelihood, Brown, he had the big one last with the lone gainer to set up the winner. This time, picks up the first down. Picks up 14, and I don't even know how he saw Antonio Brown coming. And Rex Ryan knows that's it. One more, and it's official. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the AFC champions again.
Oh, is that a great game, Donnie Football? It's a Donnie Football Friday here on The Fan. Dr. Football, otherwise known as Donnie, sitting across from me. Austin City Limits Bechtold to my left, coming off an appearance, a much ballyhooed appearance at Baldwin. He was part of a panel yesterday, Donnie, and myself. And we're here to talk Steelers, Jets on a Sunday night. I'm not sure that the Steelers, remarkably, miraculously, aren't the bigger national story going into this game, in spite of everything that's happened with the Jets. But man, was that a great day, Donnie. How are you? The AFC Championship, Rashard Mendenhall, the greatest game of his career. Do you remember it well?
Oh, I do remember it well, Joe. I was at the game with my mom. I was at the game the week prior, the helmet catch from AB with my dad, the divisional round game against the Ravens, and then my mom and I went to the AFC title game.
That was a 10 out of 10 first half performance by the Steelers.
About a 1 out of 10 second half performance.
They hung on. and it was that last play. They had Sexy Rexy mic'd up, and he later said, they're going to run it, and it was a Ben little rollout and a flip to a man named AB long before he was Mr. Big Chest, who went down to the ground to get it. I'm pumped today. I'm pumped for this game. There's not tons of history in terms of volume between the Steelers and the Jets. Oh, City Limits. Why are you making gestures toward me? What does your gesture mean? You want me to fix the camera? There I am.
There we go.
I'm on camera, Donnie. We're both on camera on The Fan on YouTube. And you can watch us. I don't know if any of you have seen Donnie Football. He's got an unbelievable hat on today. And City Limits, you don't get to view him, which is an absolute shame because he looks tremendous, doesn't he, Donnie?
Well, he still has that glow from the big Baldwin roundtable yesterday.
A lot of fun.
I know. Who's the biggest star on that panel? Give us the panel again.
Well, I was the smallest star. I'll give you that.
Well, at 140, that's not a surprise.
Guy Junker.
Yeah.
Kevin Gorman.
Yeah.
Our own Chris Mack in the building, Y108.
Yep.
Alex Stump, Ashley Leotis, and Jack Hillgrove all represented.
I got my pick.
See, I think I'm going to go with Ashley Leotis. She's been tremendous at the news conferences, and she's on TV, which gives her a big advantage over most of that panel. Historically, it's Guy Junker.
Yeah.
Gormy the Owl is very good. Everyone on there is good. Stump the Alex, they should have a quiz show with him.
Did you see he was dressed up in a suit and tie?
Was he?
He was showing everybody up.
He was. How about you?
I was wearing my Baldwin basketball quarter zip. I thought I'd wear it because that'd be recognizable for the students. I call the games, all the basketball games.
Did you get a standing ovation when you were introduced?
No, but I did get an ovation.
That's
everybody
great.
Got an ovation. I felt nervous going into it, to be honest, Joe.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, and we congratulate you. There's not a lot of history here, Donnie, in terms of sheer amount of games played. Only a couple of playoff games. One of them was the aforementioned AFC Championship with Sexy Rexy in town, and Mr. Butt Fumble himself was the Jets quarterback. And then we had the tragic Ben game where he only survived as a rookie that year because Doug Bryan kept missing field goals. But it makes up for quality and memory compared to quantity. Terry Bradshaw's last game was against the Jets, December 10th, 1983. Neither one of you was born. I was drunk. Kenny Pickett's first game, October 2nd, 2022. I mentioned the AFC title game, one of Tomlin's greatest wins in Pittsburgh. And then there were losses to Kellen Clemens and Zach Wilson that were among his worst losses. Legend has it that after a 1916 overtime loss to Clemens in the rain in New York. Tomlin said, I can't believe we just lost to the blanking Jets. You had the horrific playoff game. You had Pittsburgh guys in New York, Donnie, Joe Namath and Curtis Martin come to mind first. You had one Jet who became a prominent Steeler. That was James Farrier, the Farrier pigeon. You had Steelers who became Jets, Jets who became Steelers. Did you know that Bubby Brister and Kalen Ballage, Ed Bouchette's favorite player?
I remember Kalen Ballage.
Played for both teams.
How about Jason Taylor late in his career?
Jason Taylor late in his career. You had Santonio Holmes. You had Le'Veon Bell. Michael Vick played for both teams. Alan Faneca, Carlton Hasselrig, Willie Colon, Neil O'Donnell, and the great Dick Christie. You didn't know that, Donnie. He played for both teams. Now this week, pertinent to this week, both these franchises have lengthy, lengthy playoff win droughts. The Jets haven't even been here in 13 straight years. They haven't been to the playoffs, I should say, in 13 years. And that also happens to be their playoff win drought. In the AFC, it's Dolphins number one, 23 years. Raiders number two, 21 years without a playoff win. Jets at 13, Broncos at 8, and Steelers at 7. So I ask you, Donnie, and I welcome you aboard, how big is this game, and which team is the bigger story? I saw Kyle Brandt on NFL Good Morning. What's the show called?
Good Morning Football.
Good Morning Football. He thinks the Steelers are the bigger attention grabber going into the game. The floor is yours.
I actually think it's hard to say it's not the Jets, because this is basically the game where they are playing to keep the season alive.
Yeah.
And I know that now that might sound like hyperbole, because we're in the middle of October and we've seen the Steelers get off to bad starts and they've clawed their way back to be on the precipice of a playoff appearance by the final week of the regular season. The Jets are 2-4. They are in the New York market. They haven't accomplished the things that the Giants, the team that shares the stadium with them in New Jersey, have accomplished in the last 10 to 20 years, that being a couple of Super Bowl titles for the G-Men. They have Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, one of the, you know, whether you love him or hate him, one of the more polarizing players, and especially one of the more polarizing quarterbacks in the entire game.
Yeah.
They are 2-4. They have their season on life support. They fired their head coach 2 weeks ago, who I didn't think was doing that badly of a job. He was just 2-3. And then they go out and trade for Aaron Rodgers' best friend, Devontae Adams, who was seemingly sleeping on Rodgers' couch the last 2 weeks, because the moment they trade for him, he's at the Jets facility in 15 minutes, and he's popping up in the background on the Pat McAfee show
exactly, as
if he's been just bumming it on the pull-out couch for the last couple of weeks. This is, I think, a bigger story for the Jets, because the world is going to see them in prime time, and they are in a position where if they lose this game, they are 2-5, and they have a long way to go to chase the big gun at the top of that AFC East, the Bills.
Bigger game probably for the Jets, yeah. I do agree with that. But the bigger story, the biggest story, is let's ride. Do you have that, Limits? Russell Wilson is apparently starting for the Steelers. The whole NFL is going to be riveted on this guy. This is incredible.
Broncos country, let's ride.
That, Donnie, that. So I think the Steelers are almost the sort of bigger attention grabber here. But yes, I think you're right. It's bigger for the Jets. But man, it's huge for both, because let's take a look at the AFC. We've spent a lot of time this week with quarterback drama, receiver drama, Jet drama, etc. Let's look at the actual game. See if you guys agree with me. I think the four division leaders right now are the four teams that are going to win, and probably by multiple games, their divisions. I don't know if you guys agree. Bills, Ravens, Texans, Chiefs, all prohibitive favorites to win their divisions?
I would say so.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Okay, so four are in.
Oddly enough, the Steelers seem like they'll give them the most fight to the team ahead of them.
Yeah, they might. So four are in, I think, we think. That leaves three playoff spots. Let's eliminate, I think, at least five teams. See if you agree with this. The Patriots, the Fighting Deshaun Watsons, the Titans, the Jags, and the Raiders. All no chancers, correct?
Correct.
I agree.
How about the Dolphins? I put them almost in that category, if not in that category. I think they're cooked.
Well, yeah, I mean, without Tua, I don't think they – and I don't even think Tua's all that good of a player, but he's certainly showing his value in his absence because they suck without him.
He's back in 2 weeks, I think, but I also don't think he's very good and worthy of that contract, so I don't think the Dolphins are making the playoffs.
And you have to wonder, like, okay, he's back, one more hit, though.
And his career's done.
And
exactly. Exactly. Okay, so let's put them in the done category. Yeah. I'm willing to do that. There's four in. There's six done. That equals 10, Donnie Football. Am I correct there?
Yes.
That only leaves six teams left for four spots. Six for four. The Jets, the Steelers, the Fighting Joe Burrows, the Fighting Joe Flaccos, the Chargers, and against all odds, the Fighting Bo Nixes, right?
4-3.
I don't like Sean Payton, but I give him a lot of credit. I thought they were gone when the Steelers beat them because they had a tough schedule coming up. I thought their season would be done by now. They would absolutely be in our list of they're done. They had to go at Tampa the next week. They blew them out. At the Jets, they win. Then they beat the Raiders, they lose to the Chargers, and they win at New Orleans. I give them a lot of credit.
We had the discussion yesterday with the guys in the afternoon about how maybe the Steelers' schedule isn't quite as soft as everyone says, because you hear it from everyone. Oh, they haven't played anybody yet. Stack it up against what the other good teams in the AFC have done. It's pretty much the same opposing win percentage.
Yes, but the only caveat I would throw in there is they caught a couple of those teams at a great time. They got Bo Nix.
For sure.
And they got Kirk Cousins. Those were different teams then, I think.
I think the Falcons especially.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Broncos seemed to immediately flip a switch.
Well, so did the Falcons, kind of, didn't they? I mean, it didn't take them long.
Yeah, they won the next week, but the Broncos immediately just got going.
Yeah, I hear that. But bottom line is, we're talking six spots and three teams, correct?
Four teams.
Well, we already have four teams in, so we have six spots for three wild cards.
Okay.
Right? Who are those three teams going to be? Donnie, I'll let you go first.
I think the Steelers are in a position where they just seem to match up better with the back half of that schedule than we previously thought. And that's why sometimes that preseason run through the schedule, it's a very fun activity that we can do and a fun activity the fans can do, but certainly not an exact science. I think I like the Chargers because of who they have at quarterback, and I'm actually not counting out the Bengals.
Me neither.
Because I think Burrow has gotten going. That offense is really good. Look at the point totals in the AFC. They're one of the highest scoring teams in the entire conference, I think only behind the Bills and the Ravens. But then look at the points against. They've given up over 150 points.
Yes.
The defense has been awful. So if the defense can at least figure it out to some degree, or maybe you know, they get a couple of lucky breaks here and there, that offense will keep trucking.
My three, so your three then are Chargers, Steelers, Bengals.
Yes.
I'm going to go Steelers, Chargers, and Colts. I think Shane Steichen is a really, really good coach. I think the Bengals' defense stinks, and I think they probably dug themselves too big of a hole with their schedule. Their schedule is not good. It's similar to the Steelers. Plus, the Bengals are already 0-3 in the AFC. I'd be willing to change next week, though, if the Jets win this game. And I'm not saying they would replace the Steelers, but they would replace somebody. The Jets have a ton of talent, but this is a make-or-break game for them. You drop to 2-5, your margin for error is close to nothing. But you win a game. Bills lose a game, and then all of a sudden you're just one out. You got another game against the Bills. You could even win that division. The Jets should make the playoffs based on talent. They should. But if they drop to 2-5, I don't think they will.
That would also be four consecutive losses if the Steelers beat the Jets on Sunday night. So they start 2-1. People are thinking, okay, these are the Jets that we kind of expected, and it is cratered. It'll look even worse after they fire the coach and they go out and get Aaron Rodgers' best friend, you know, one of the best wide receivers of this generation.
Yes.
Davante Adams. If that doesn't immediately pay dividends, I will almost be surprised. But I'm fully expecting that on Sunday night, Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers hook up for at least one score.
All right, to the quarterback matchup. That's what's going to have, I think, 25 million people watching this game. Steelers and Cowboys got 20.3 million, which was a pretty robust rating, especially when you consider the rain delay that night. This game, Donnie, this will get 25 to 30 million people viewing this game with Aaron Rodgers against Let's Ride. What do you think we see from Russell Wilson? Do you think he improves the offense? Do you think he delivers the kind of passing game they want? I've heard your compatriot on the PM show, Mr. Andrew Filippone. He talks about Justin Fields like he's Dan Marino in his prime, for God's sakes. You're doing blind tests against other quarterbacks with stats, completely ignoring his turnover-worthy plays from the past few weeks. He's talking about this guy. You know, he's talking him up more than he talked up Pickett. And he said Pickett and Pickens were going to be Montana and Rice.
Well,
what does he think Fields is? A combination of Montana, Marino, Favre, and Elway?
Maybe throw in Steve Young with the running ability there. I mean, he did compare the last guy to Joe Montana, who was a top three QB all time, most likely. I do question, Joe, how much better the offense can really be with Russell Wilson in there. Now, it's a case on Sunday where you're going to have a lot of people, and there has been a divide at the quarterback position among fans in this town since Roethlisberger called it quits. There was a divide with Trubisky and Pickett. Then there was a three-way dance last season, even though everybody was pretty much out on Trubisky. But then it became Pickett and Rudolph. And then it was Wilson and Pickett for about a week. And now it has become Russell Wilson versus Justin Fields. And I almost get a sense that there's people out there who are like openly rooting for either one of the guys to fail.
Yes, we had a guy on the air say it yesterday.
And I mean, I don't get that.
It is
that.
Like now, Trubisky. Everybody wanted to kick him out of town, and I was his biggest fan.
I mean,
it's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
I mean, I'm not going to be upset if Russell Wilson goes out there and balls out, but I don't expect that to happen. I think we can maybe see a couple of deep balls that get connected. It gets the fans a little bit fired up. But I question the mobility, not due to his history.
So do I.
I question it because of a calf injury that has been very recent.
I question it because of the offensive line.
Well, that's a major issue, too. I mean, plus Zach Frazier out of the game.
Well,
maybe their best offensive lineman.
Primarily Zach Frazier out of the game. Yes, I mean, I would have started Fields in this game, but it was a 51% to 49% decision for me. The primary reason being he's an elite running quarterback. As Ben said, he's a running back there when he wants to be. And behind a damaged offensive line, that can be very valuable. But so can getting rid of the ball quickly and hitting the right targets. I don't blame Tomlin necessarily for this decision. And I'm with more than with Pony, and I know a lot of people are with him. Most people in all these little Twitter polls that people like you and I put up and pomp, Fields is a prohibitive choice to keep playing. But I think some of the defenses of him are way over the top. Like there's a lot of gray area here in the rationale to start or sit either guy. I'm more with our old friend Ryan Scarpino from Steelers PR. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hear Justin Fields from yesterday in a second, basically saying, and I agree with him, I wasn't good enough. Scarpino says, rational Steelers fans, Fields has been decent, not great, not bad. Fields friends, you just hate Justin. Fields acknowledges he didn't play well enough. Fields friends, it's not that simple. That's true, man. He spoke the truth. Justin Fields spoke the truth, and I commend him for that. And Donnie, the little, I won't call it a shot at Russell Wilson, because it wasn't, but Fields let the world know that he does not regard Russell Wilson the way you would regard an incumbent starter like Josh Allen or Ben in his prime or Russell Wilson in Seattle or things like that. He definitely did not say, yeah, I was just here to keep the seat warm for Russ. He said, if I play better, I'm the guy, which to me signals how he feels about Russ. Like, this guy was vulnerable. He's not that anymore. He's not him anymore. He was, if I had played better, I would be the guy. Let's hear this quote and then your take on all that.
Is it a little frustrating if you don't start considering how you played the first six games?
I mean, I don't think I played, you know, good enough, if I'm being real with you. If I'm being real with myself, I think if, you know, I did play well enough, I don't think there would be, you know, any sort of who should be playing, who should not. So at the end of the day, you know, we got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that. But you know, there's areas that, you know, I could be better at. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, continue to work on those and continue to get better.
To me, that's really interesting. And I don't think a lot of people have talked about the angle of he's saying out loud there that Russell Wilson's not the guy around here. Could have easily been me. I'm not the backup. I just didn't play well. That's what I heard.
Yeah, and you said and you wrote earlier this week he had to basically leave no doubt. It's almost like a court case on either side.
Yeah.
Leave no doubt, but he did leave some doubt in there. I mean, and yeah, he has played decent football. He's played cleaner football than what he has most of his career. Now, he has some turnover-worthy plays that he's gotten lucky on, but he has certainly cleaned up his game from where he was in Chicago. And I do agree. I mean, if he was better, if he was a lights-out type player and the numbers weren't just looking pretty in the touchdown-to-interception ratio, he would still be in there. He could not leave a question about it, but he did. I also think a little bit twofold there to what he said, and I also commend him for those words because Lord knows we know last year we were told there was no way to learn anything by sitting on the bench,
right,
by a certain quarterback. But I think Justin Fields did something very smart yesterday, the way he said that, the way he carried himself in the chat with the media, and that's because I think he realizes the organization that he is now with. An organization like the Steelers that pride themselves more than anybody else, maybe more than any organization in sports, on stability and loyalty and not rocking the boat and, you know, and just you keep on trucking right through no matter what the circumstances are. I think he knows, hey, if I go about this like an adult, if I show maturity with this, if I show leadership with the way I talk, like, hey, I wasn't good enough and, you know, it's simple as that. You know, I should have been better myself. I think he has in the back of his mind that, hey, maybe that says something to them for the future. Maybe
yes.
Not necessarily 2024, but maybe 25 and beyond.
He casts him. That's a great point. He cast himself as the anti-Pickett, because the thing Pickett didn't do also later in the season, and this was behind closed doors with Tomlin, was acknowledge, yeah, if I had been good enough, you would have never dialed up Russell Wilson. I wasn't. Instead, he said, what, you're bringing in Russell and he's going to get first dibs? Get me out of town then. He left here, and I like a lot of things about Kenny Pickett, and he was an incredible player at Pitt and should always be remembered mm-hmm. for that season. But he left here looking cocky and delusional, and that's too bad. But that's ancient history now. But I do think that Fields is aware of everything that happened there. And maybe intentionally, maybe not, is casting himself as the anti-Pickett. But I definitely think there was a message to the world out there. I do not regard and did not regard Russell Wilson, who's a future Hall of Famer, as an untouchable that I was just, you know, carrying a bag for 6 weeks. No, if I were good enough, he'd be sitting. Imagine, you know, Duck Hodges saying that about Ben or Mason or anybody like that. You don't say that about a widely regarded incumbent. Mm-hmm. he doesn't think Russell is that.
Yeah, I mean, they're also playing, they're both outsiders in this situation. They were not guys who have been with the organization for years, and that's where I think he can also not have to address him in that way. Like, okay, he was phenomenal in Seattle. Right. He had a bad run in Denver. He's new to Pittsburgh the same way I am.
Yes.
And I've gotten 6 games under my belt. He hasn't played a snap.
Right. So he's not giving him that kind of respect. And I don't mean that as saying anything bad about Justin. I think he's probably right. But clearly he's not honoring Wilson's spot as the number one guy at all. At all. And it's easy, you know, to do blind stat tests right now. Justin Fields, here's his numbers compared to so-and-so. Well, he has better numbers than Mahomes right now, too. We're 6 games into a season, and there's been a lot of turnover-worthy plays. Donnie, he's on pace for 17 fumbles. He's got 6 fumbles.
And like 2 lost.
Yes, 1 lost or 2. And then, yeah. And then even in the last couple of weeks, he threw an interception, and a killer interception, that might have gotten him pulled from the game against the Raiders. He would have left for halftime with a passer rating of 44 if that pick stands. Instead, there's a questionable roughing the passer that, by the way, didn't affect the throw at all. Then there's the hideous lateral to Jaylen Warren, a bullet behind the line of scrimmage that was not catchable, really. And that's a fumble. And it's in an area of the field where it could eat. That was a picket play. Remember, mm-hmm. Pickett used to screw up those little sideways passes.
He had one last year against the Packers.
Yes. You know, they'd be in the dirt. They'd be over the guy's head. Terrible throw. He got lucky on that one. And then he got lucky early in the Dallas game when the guy dropped an interception on a terrible deep ball. Listen, the bottom line for me with Fields is he's an elite runner. And there is something to be said for that. A lot to be said for that, especially when you have a banged up line. But the same question that plagued him in Chicago is plaguing him here. I don't give a damn if he has 5 TDs compared to 1 pick. He's not a consistent deliverer of the football. He's not. He's about 55% the past couple weeks. He's thrown it to the other team, even if they don't count. You can just watch the game and see that he's not by any means an elite and maybe only average passer. You know, on anything that's intermediate or deep, that's what he appears to be. And that's a problem because he plays quarterback. I'm sorry. What was true in Chicago is true here.
That's why I also wonder if he is having the mindset of, hey, you know, my game, there's so much I still need to learn, at least when it comes to being an actual quarterback. Okay, I don't need to learn anything when I run, because when I run, I'm maybe the best athlete on the field.
Is it about learning, though, Donnie, or are you a good passer or not, and do we know pretty much 50 games into your career?
I mean, yeah, that argument could be there, but, I mean, he also never really got the chance to actually just kind of chill out and sit behind somebody who has been an elite passer.
Yeah.
Who could maybe, you know, just do things, not necessarily sit down with him and, you know, circle this, cross off that, like, you know, teach him by the book, but maybe just watching he could pick up a few things.
Well, we got a lot to talk about here. Donnie, are you willing to engage in a numbers game with me? It's not that much different than free association, but it involves key numbers in this game. We talked before the show. I know you're willing to engage in it, aren't you?
Yes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a Donnie Football Friday. We have so many things here that I can't even keep track. I'm overly pumped for this game, Donnie. That's my problem right now. This is going to be such fascinating theater. I mean, for Devontae Adams is like story number 8 in this game, and he's a guy that the Steelers, I think, should have gone after harder. So that's my first question before we get into the numbers game is, with what he went for to New York, we had, who was it, Rich Cimini on the other day?
Yeah.
Oh, Limitless Wonder. He told us a second round, a straight second round pick probably would have gotten it done, to which I said, does Devontae let it be known through back channels that he's going to be a hostage instead of a volunteer? Do you sign him? Would it have been a problem? Man, I would have been awfully tempted to go get him. You?
They should have been tempted, and they should have maybe made a better effort, but I really never saw this one as one that had much of a chance. Now, the Ayuk thing, yeah, I think they were very much all in on that. And
why?
It didn't
Why didn't it have much of a chance?
I just felt like from the immediate like news that he requested a trade, it was going to be the Jets.
But did he have a choice in the matter?
I think he had some sway.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
And just the way maybe that I said it
being,
there.
Yeah.
Letting it be known, yeah, it's not going to go well there. Or I'm certainly not signing long term. And did you hear that I have a hamstring issue? That type of thing.
And now all of a sudden he's healthy. He's going to play. Yeah,
I heard we've been talking all week. Josh Roundtree compared it to Willy Wonka at the start of the movie, the original
oh,
one.
I love that scene.
Where he walks out with a cane.
With the cane and he does the roll and he's up. It's a great scene.
If Devontae Adams, too bad it's not a home game for them. If he ran out of the tunnel with a cane and a top hat and then threw the cane aside and did a somersault, it would be the greatest thing ever.
Grandpa Joe's in the crowd. I mean, now you talk about another phony. That guy hopped right out of bed.
I know. What's up with him?
Oh, he's the worst.
You don't like Grandpa Joe?
Oh, no.
He was a fraud or selfish. Like he was using the kid for money, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the mom was working like double shifts at the laundromat, and we got this birdie sleeping in bed all day, and then they got three other grandparents. I just said, hey, Joe, what about me, huh?
Yeah. Then like right. And then all of a sudden, there's a chance to go visit Wonka.
Oh, and he pops. He's doing a whole song and dance.
Right. He pops out of bed. Yeah. Like Devontae Adams. I think you're right about that, Don. That's an underrated story for movie history.
Bad guy.
What was his name? Grandpa Joe?
Grandpa Joe.
Grandpa Joe. Which I'm going to be in November, by the way. Yeah. My stepson Michael and his wife Abby having a little girl.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. I will literally be Grandpa Joe.
And now you can lay in bed for like 10 years straight.
Unless there's
Just watch The Price is Right.
Unless there's a money-making opportunity. Then I'll fly out. What was my question? Oh, Devontae.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you give off vibes in a situation like that. And, it sure seems to me, with a lot of these high-profile players, that even with extenuating circumstances and even when it doesn't look like it's possible, they sure do wind up where they want to go a lot of times, don't they?
I mean, the only real times where we can think that it hasn't worked recently, the guys that the Steelers have sent away.
Yeah.
I mean, they send Deontay Johnson to Carolina. They send Kenny Pickett to Philly. I mean, maybe he wanted to go there because it's closer to home, but he ain't ever going to play.
Does Russell unlock something that we haven't seen yet with receivers beyond Pickens? Or with Pickens, who, as it turns out right now, has the most receiving yards in the league without a touchdown?
I think he can certainly provide more in the deep ball game, like more consistency throwing the football downfield. I mean, he has always been a very good deep ball receiver. Now, not necessarily over the middle, but with somebody like Pickens in your lineup, maybe you can unlock something there. Maybe we're in for a long touchdown. That would certainly get the people going. I think he can provide that where Justin Fields can't right now.
Right. And a huge story in New York, by the way, is injuries in their secondary, including safety. And we've seen teams come in here. Well, even with Duck Hodges, you know, the Browns used to come in here with horrendous safety issues. And all of a sudden, Duck Hodges and James Washington look like Montana to Rice. Remember those games? Remember that game?
Oh, yeah.
So, Clark, Reed, both out. Maybe. We'll see about DJ Reed, but Chuck Clark, safety. So they got a, they got a big hole in the back end of their defense, at least one. So that could be significant. Here's my other question, Donnie. If you had achieved your goals and become an NFL player as a quarterback, and I'm sure when you were little, you wanted to be a quarterback, would you rather have the career of Ben or the career of Aaron Rodgers? Ben has the extra Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers has enough MVPs to fill an entire room, and he beat Ben in a Super Bowl, but that was his only one. How many MVPs did he win? Three.
Four.
Four. Four MVPs plus a Super Bowl or two Super Bowls. And they've both put up, and we could look at the numbers. It's sort of, you know, six and one, half dozen in another. They both put up ridiculous numbers in their career. Whose career would you rather have?
Rodgers. Easily. I mean,
easily.
Ben, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Ben, yeah, he has the extra Super Bowl win. He was the youngest guy, still is the youngest one, I think, to quarterback a Super Bowl team. Rookie of the year in 2004, six-time Pro Bowler. But the numbers, here's something else about quarterbacks. We know they all have big egos. Do you think they'd rather have the individual accolades that Rodgers has if it meant just one more Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I think we know who everybody would pick. Rodgers, 10 Pro Bowls, four All-Pros, four MVPs.
I don't know that everybody would pick that, Donnie. I don't know about that. I think you're minimizing the extra Super Bowl. Ben goes down with twice as many as Rodgers, 2-1.
I think if Rodgers had not won one at all, then I would have a lot harder of a time saying his name.
Yeah.
If he had everything else the same and had zero Super Bowls,
yeah,
he would basically be the Dan Marino of the generation.
And he would have lost to Ben. Man, how much?
And that would have given Ben three.
How much was riding on that Super Bowl in terms of legacy? Like, for instance, with Tomlin, you pretty much just buy, I'm not saying a criticism-free rest of your career, but you win two? You win two, it's just different when you go back and analyze his career.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, Rodgers, I mean, it changed history, and they had a real chance to win that game. They had a real chance to win. Ben had the ball with two minutes left.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I loved watching Big Ben as a player, I mean, he was one of the most fun guys to watch. And, you know, he was my quarterback for the Steelers growing up, like my formative years of being a fan. This is the guy I watched.
Yeah.
I got to see greatness almost every Sunday with this dude. I got to see multiple Super Bowls, a bunch of AFC title game appearances, things we haven't seen in a while. But I just think Aaron Rodgers unfortunately clears him in a lot of categories. Plus, now this is just personal thought here. I'll see if either of you guys agree. When it comes to people discussing the best pure throwers of the football,
yeah,
I think Aaron Rodgers is probably in the top 3 to 5.
I agree with that.
There are very few guys I feel throw a better ball than Aaron Rodgers ever has.
For me, it's really close as to who is the better player, believe it or not. I think Ben, in his prime, you know, when he was part of a passing offense, putting up ridiculous numbers, like the sort of the MO on him early in his career was, here's a guy who's all about winning. These other quarterbacks put up big numbers. Well, Ben eventually did too. 500-yard games and stuff like that. Just ridiculous stuff. But I'll give Rodgers a slight edge, and I will acknowledge that I would rather have Rodgers' career. I would rather have four MVPs and a Super Bowl than two Super Bowls and no MVPs. And no, I don't think Ben was ever first or even second team All-Pro. How about you, Limits? Who would you... What is going
Limits on
here?
The phone in there.
What has happened with Limits? Who could he possibly be on the phone with, Donnie? Maybe a caller, huh?
I mean, Rodgers too,
and he's 12-10 in the playoffs. Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, he does have that Super Bowl. It would be much more difficult if he didn't. His interception percentage, the best in league history.
Yes,
1.4. His quarterback rating, best in league history, 103 for a career. In the age 37 season, the COVID year, his numbers were ludicrous, Joe. He threw for nearly 4,300 yards. His completion percentage was just under 71%.
Wow.
a career high for him. 48 touchdowns and 5 picks. Like, he just had staggering seasons of touchdown to interception numbers.
I stand corrected, Don. No, you're right.
Ben never really saw.
You're right about that, for sure. That's inarguable. Ben actually has a better playoff record, 13-10 to 12-10. I didn't know that till I just looked it up. Ben has one more playoff. Rodgers has absolutely underachieved.
He has.
As a postseason performer. Ben with 36 touchdowns to 28 picks in his is that right? In his postseason career, Donnie?
Say the number again.
36 touchdowns, 28 picks?
Yes.
That's horrible. I'm sorry, but that's horrible. Would you agree with that?
And Rodgers has 45 touchdowns to 13 picks.
In his playoff career? Wow. That's a hell of a question.
The year that they won that Super Bowl, 2010, nearly 1,100 yards in the playoffs, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks.
Wow. But I will say this, Ben, at the height of his powers, there's maybe a handful of quarterbacks that I've ever seen that I'd rather have than him. 6'5", could move around, make plays, ad lib all you want, could stand there from a pocket and shred you, could use empty sets and throw 55 times if that's what you wanted to do that day. It's close. I think it's closer for me than it might be for you between Ben and Rodgers when they were at their very best.
Yeah, I mean, I just see in this case, like, Ben probably a top 20 to 25 quarterback of all time.
Holy horse follicles. We have to talk about
too
this.
Low?
Too low, yes. Let's talk about this.
Where did you put him?
Top 10. Right at the edge of top 10.
Man, okay.
Now we have to talk about this, Donnie. Ray Fittipaldo warming up in the bullpen right now. Did you see the end of the Guardians-Yankees, by the way?
That was awesome.
Oh, my God.
I'm quite a bit jealous of something like that.
Do you have a little bit of kinship spirit with Cleveland, even though we hate Cleveland? Is there a little bit of kinship with those people?
Yeah. I root for them in the playoffs. Like, whoever won that Detroit-Cleveland series, and if the Royals would have upset the Yankees, I would have rooted for all three of those teams.
So, all right. I mean, what's your criterion? Is there one stat that you look at? Is it Super Bowls for you? What is it that you put above all others in terms of the measuring stick for quarterbacks? The eye test, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to do Super Bowls because then you're going to run into the issues with guys like Rodgers who have just one, someone like Marino who has none. I mean, like Marino, where would you rank Marino all time?
Marino's top 5. The top 5 of all time in some kind of order, and I hope I'm doing this right, is Brady, Montana, Elway, Marino.
I think you're
Mahomes.
Missing it. I was going to say, I think Mahomes is like 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's I wasn't putting him in
already,
order.
Yeah.
Those are your top 5, okay? Then you have Aaron Rodgers. I put Ben above Drew Brees. I don't know about you.
I would do that. He's
Peyton
probably
Manning,
closer to
Peyton
10
Manning
15.
For sure is
absolutely.
Above Ben. So how many is that above Ben then after those guys? Who did I just say?
I think you have 7.
Okay. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers. If
what
you
about
want
to Favre?
No, I think Ben's better than Favre. Certainly is equal, I think. And who else comes to mind? Josh Allen too early, right? Steve Young. Steve Young might be up there.
Yeah, Young was really good.
Do you see what I mean,
Any
Donnie?
Guys that are from like way back, or do you think they played too long ago?
See, those are the guys, I don't know. I would say of the Super Bowl era when I talk about this, which I've been alive for almost the whole time. I don't know about Otto Graham. You know, Ron covered Otto Graham. Ron covered
George Blanda, the pride
George
of Youngwood,
Blanda,
PA.
Bronco Nagurski. I think Dewante Culpepper was a hell of a quarterback. I think Favre. I don't know. Who are we missing, Donnie? Who are we missing? Breeze? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, we both just said that.
Kurt Warner?
Go.
Is Ben better than Kurt Warner?
Ben is better than Kurt Warner.
There you go. So are you willing to acknowledge on a Donnie Football Friday that you had Ben too low?
Yeah, I did.
Limits,
I hope Ben's not listening.
He usually is, I think. And he's angry.
I am
with
listening.
You.
I'm not angry at all. I had a very important phone call because we have a very special guest that's coming on the show at 12:30.
Who might that be?
The one and only Super Bowl champion, Jack Ham.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let's go.
That's it. He called me during the middle of the show, and I was like, need to take that.
Because they're going to fate the 74 Steelers, right? So we got to talk about that at some point, too, Donnie Football.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. There's all kinds of hot takes. We didn't even get to the numbers game. I don't know if we got to enough quarterbacks. We're late for Ray Fittipaldi.
I think we can get to the numbers after Ray.
How's this for a hot take? The greatest win in Steelers franchise history was the Gators, and it wasn't the Immaculate Reception. You like that for a hot one? You're looking at me like I'm crazy, or at least like you're surprised.
Which one do you go with that? The
here's the thing. The
74 AFC Championship?
Yes, I do, Donnie. The Immaculate Reception announced the Steelers as a franchise to be taken seriously.
But they lost.
The next week, and they lost the next year to the Raiders in the playoffs by a blowout. The Immaculate Reception did not catapult the Steelers to a dynasty. It announced to the world, we have arrived. We're no longer a joke. You're going to have to deal with us. What brought them, what launched their dynasty was going into Oakland. Donnie was going into Oakland against a great Raiders team and pounding the crap out of them.
There it is.
And it was the greatest. We'll ask Jack Ham. We'll see if Jack Ham agrees. It was the game where Joe Green broke a chair in a meeting leading up to the game. It was the one game where Chuck Knoll played on their emotions, according to legend. We'll ask Jack Ham about that. He never considered himself a motivator. If he can't self-motivate, you know, then get out of here. After the Dolphins-Raiders game, a playoff game that day that set up Raiders-Steelers, I think it was John Madden who said these were the two best teams in football today. Something like that. Chuck Knoll said that to his team and said, I think you're the best team in football. Joe Green broke a chair right after that. And the Steelers came out and I think held the Raiders to 21 yards rushing, something like that. Just beat them to a pulp. And that, my friend, was the greatest win in Steelers history.
I watched the first part of that Dawn of a Dynasty the other night.
I guess not. I should say non-Super Bowl. That's the win that truly launched the dynasty.
And they talked about that game. That's why I knew where you were going with the, I think these are the two best teams in football
yes.
here.
Isn't that incredible? Let's ask Jack Ham. Let's have him take us into that locker room, Donnie. I want to play now, don't you? I want to play in this game this weekend. This is Joe Namath's old team. Call him, Limits. I gave you his number. Did you try him yet?
I have not.
Try him. I want to talk
to
him.
We were so lucky to get him when we did the last time.
I want to test fate. Get him live, no matter who's on, except if it's Jack Ham. But can we get two guys at once? Is that possible?
It is possible,
then
yeah.
Get Joe Namath. I gave you his number. The last time he was on, it was to say farewell to Ron. Joe Namath would be unbelievable today.
I'll do my best.
He would have opinions on the Jets firing, on Rodgers. Give him a call. Not a text. I don't think they work at this point. Give them a call. Donnie, we have an unbelievable show going. We've gone a little long here. I acknowledge that.